As we are now in the Christmas season, I'm led to continue bringing messages related to the gift from God our Father in the form of Jesus, his Son and Savior. I discussed last week how this gift from God was somewhat unexpected in the way it was presented. The promised Messiah was expected by the Jewish people, but he was not expected in the way he arrived. Instead of coming with a display of great power and complete supremacy, the gift arrived as a little baby wrapped in the cloths that were to be used to wrap the next Passover lamb to be born in that cave where they were to an expecting female sheep. That's how the baby Jesus was wrapped, just like the Passover lambs. And this gift did not appear standing tall in regal robes, or as King David did, fearlessly slaying the giant Goliath and routing the Philistine army. The wrapping of this gift was humble and very unassuming. This wonderful gift was announced to lowly shepherds who guarded the flocks of sheep. These sheep were soon to give birth to Passover lambs intended to be sacrificed during the Passover feast. As you recall, Jesus clearing the temple of the money changers. The point was, right before Passover, the money changers were there, and all these lambs were then preserved to buy, so that when you came from a long distance, you didn't have to bring your lamb with you. You could just buy one. And that's what all these ewes were for, to produce these lambs. The shepherds told the story of what they had heard from the angels and what they'd seen when they found the Christ child to all the people in Bethlehem. We read that last week. To anyone who would listen that night, they ran through the town, and then they returned to the fields to tend to their sheep. And this little baby was actually God himself in human form. Unexpected. Unimaginable, really. As we read in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, which we read last week, Jesus came to this earth that he himself created as a servant. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Please. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Jesus was by his very nature God, but he didn't consider his equality with God something that he must hang on to. He was willing to release it, to let it go. He voluntarily set aside his divine attributes and privileges out of his love for the Father, and he made himself nothing. He became a slave, is that word that says servant. But he was a slave or a servant to God, the Father, so that he could fulfill God's plan of salvation for all mankind. Now let's turn to our scripture for the day again, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And Larry, would you pray over the word today, please?
Lord, your kind Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word.
Yes, Lord.
That you came in this form to communicate with us. Thank you for that. Pray that you'll have the Holy Spirit fall upon you,
yes,
giving the words to say today, fall upon our ears that we won't hear what we need to hear. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was in the light of men, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So here we see Jesus' divinity. His eternally existing self is described here. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And yet, as he is described as being the life and the light of all mankind, this same light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it. Some translations say it did not comprehend it. The Greek word used here is katalambano. It means to take eagerly, to seize. Katalambano. Mankind did not take eagerly or seize the truth of who Jesus was. Throughout his whole lifetime, they did not receive him either. Now, as we look down in John chapter 1, verse 10, we read, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world did not perceive who he actually was. And truthfully, it would be a difficult thing to perceive, that God himself made himself human, to be like us, lowered himself that far. So he can't hold them too responsible, I don't guess, at first. But with all the miracles, some people got it. But most people didn't. And so they didn't receive him. We read on in verse 11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The Greek word for receive is very similar to the word for comprehend. That was katalambano. The Greek word for receive is paralambano, and it means to receive or to associate with it within a close and intimate way, or to actually take unto oneself, to receive into one's being. Just like Jesus said, you know, I am in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. That's what we're talking about. This act isn't just receiving. It addresses the spirit in which something is received. If you let something into you like that, it's a picture of embracing and grasping and truly understanding what this precious thing is. And it's delighting in what you have received. And the world did not delight in receiving Jesus. But we read on in verse 12, and we see, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, you gave the right to become the children of God. Wow. Now, the Greek word for received here is the root word of those other two words, it's lambano. So that it keeps changing a little bit. So those who did receive him, lambano, they who believed in his name became the right to be children. And here it means to take or to accept or to be amazed or to get a hold of, the root word. They're amazed and they grasp hold of it. For those who accept with amazement and grasp hold of who this Jesus is, to those who believe in his name, and that's another Greek word that we'll get to, meaning believing in his name, to those who have faith, who entrust one's spiritual well-being to Christ, Jesus gave those persons the right to become the children of God. Wow, I love that scripture. It's our right. Now, the Greek word translated believe, it also has that a deeper meaning than just simply believe. It is pistuo, and it means to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or a thing. And it means by implication to entrust one's spiritual well-being to Christ. That is true belief. It is by that level of faith or that belief that we are given the right to become children of God. Are you amazed yet? I am. This amazes me. This gift offers this amazing benefit to all who eagerly receive it. We think in terms of the Greek. We eagerly receive it, who grasp hold of it, who are amazed by it, and who receive it into one's being. Even delighted, perhaps. But many people rejected this gift when it was given, and many still reject this gift, even today when it is presented. The Romans rejected Jesus because they hated the Jewish people. They hated the culture, the religion, the values of the Jewish nation. They're not going to accept Jesus because they could not accept his people. Well, this same sentiment is seen in our culture and throughout Western culture. Many reject Jesus because they've been given a bad impression of who Jesus is through encounters of Christian people. Romans hated Jesus because they hated Jews. People reject Jesus because they hate Christian people. They've been wounded by a hypocritical church family or a bad experience with a church leader or by someone who they knew were to be a Christian and had a very bad experience. And so just like the Romans, they hate what they know of Christians, and so they also hate Jesus. You see, the same thing is happening. Jesus was even rejected by his own people, the Jewish nation, at the very least by all the leaders of the Jewish people. But if we remember moving towards the Passover and towards the cross, the people who were praising him one Sunday were saying, "Crucify him," by the following Thursday. They had different expectations of a Savior. They expected political power. They expected a mighty ruling king who would marshal the forces of Israel and defeat the Roman army and their government who rules over them. Kind of like what we read over there with Asa. You know, he gathered up his people and he called on his God and they routed the Cushites. That's what they were looking for in this new Messiah. Well, Jesus is also rejected today by many because, as with the Jewish leaders of his day, he is not being who he is expected to be. And he's not doing perhaps what we expect him to do for us. Life of the Christian may not be going as you had expected or you had hoped. So just as the Jewish people leading up to the cross that one week went from saying Hosanna to the king, they say, "Crucify him." Things aren't going so well. They weren't for them. Is it time now for us to give up on him, just as the Jewish people gave up on him in the first century? I say no. 2 Timothy 2:13 tells us, "If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." He remains faithful to his promise to be our Savior. If we who believe in Christ struggle at times, and we do, at that point in time we are faithless. Our faith is weak or gone. We are without faith. But God is still there for us and holding out his hand for us. He remains faithful even when we do not. This is a constant theme throughout God's word, is that he is faithful even when his people reject him. He continues to keep his promises. Do you remember Jesus' purpose? It was to fulfill God's plan of salvation for you and me, for all mankind. That was the promise. He gave that promise clear back in the Garden of Eden. He gave it clear back in Genesis to Abraham, and on and on. God is faithful to that promise. Even if he's not doing what you expect him to do, he is still there for you, and he's still faithful to be your Savior. That never changes. And the next time we see this Greek word used in John is in John 14, 1 and 3. So let's turn to John 14. Interesting in here is because the Greek words are similar, but they're interpreted and translated differently. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." First we read, "Trust in God, trust also in me." The Greek word translated "trust" here is that very same word that we saw back in John 1:12 that was translated "believe." It's pistuo. And it's saying, you have faith, you entrust your spiritual well-being to God. That's what that Greek word means, to God. Well, then have faith and entrust your spiritual being in me, Jesus is saying. And then he says, Jesus says, "I will come back and take you to be with me." Other translations say, I will come back and receive you to myself. So now we're back to that translated word of Greek for take or receive. It's paralambano. Take you unto myself. And again, this means to receive or associate with a close and intimate way. Or to take unto oneself, to receive into one's being. So Jesus there is saying, I'm taking you unto myself. I'm receiving you into my being. And again, it isn't just simply receiving. It addresses the spirit in which something is being received. And this is what Jesus is saying. It's a picture of Jesus embracing and grasping you and I. Truly understanding who you and I are. Brothers and sisters. His own creation. And it is delighting in what you have received. Jesus is delighting in receiving us. The world did not delight in receiving Jesus, but Jesus is saying here that he delights in receiving you and me into his kingdom. And he says that you also may be where I am. Wow. Jesus, our Savior, the great gift from God, made himself nothing, made himself just as weak and frail as you and I, in order to fulfill God's promise of a Savior for all mankind, and then to do what? Then to receive us to himself. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 tells us, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. He will do it. So the question for each one of us is, are we going to receive him with great delight? Are we going to be amazed by him and grasp hold of him? Just as we read, he does that for us. He receives us with great delight. He grasps hold of us. Or are we going to reject this great and precious gift of God's love for us? Are we going to keep this Christmas gift? Or are we going to be like so many others and return it the day after Christmas for something better? Lord, I pray that not be said of any of us. Let us pray. Lord, help us to understand that you delight in us, that you delight in receiving us. Help us, by your example, to delight in receiving you, especially in this season. But it really has to be a daily thing where we just delight in receiving you each and every day. But in this season, it's because it's the very beginning of our redemption with the birth of you, Jesus, our Savior, born just like us, just a little baby in a dark cave with a dirt floor, and just wrapped in cloths, the ones reserved for the new lambs that were going to be born as Passover lambs, so they would be wrapped up and kept perfect, and you were wrapped in that same cloth. And later you did perform just like the Passover lamb. You die for our redemption, to protect us from the wrath of God. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, let us grasp hold of that. That's your Greek words. We're supposed to grasp it and let it enter into us. And then you encourage us by saying, I'm grasping hold of you. I'm delighting in you. I'm wanting you in me. So let us open our hearts to you and delight in receiving you, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.